It's good to have the tournament back in our lives and good to talk about it in a little more detail right now with my next guest. He is a college basketball analyst for Fox Sports and FS1, studio analyst for SNY in New York. Vin Parisi joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Vin, appreciate you making time right in the middle of the first day of the second round here, right in the middle of a game to chat about this tournament. Thank you very much. How are you doing today?
Good, Sean. Thanks for having me on. And as always, after a two-year hiatus, this has been a very interesting few days. The tournament hasn't disappointed.
Yeah, no, not at all. Especially for someone, Vin, like you, who, you know, you cover college basketball. That's your thing. You cover it for a living. Like, I would imagine, just before we get into some of the specifics of this tournament, just, everybody else who covers a specific sport at least got some version of their postseason or their big events last year once we got through the first couple of months of the pandemic. But we never did get a tournament last year. I would imagine this has got to feel, the euphoria that you normally feel this time of year has got to be amped way up, having been away from it for a couple of years.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, it's surreal that it was almost literally 2 years that we were able to experience this. And, it's been an exciting tournament so far. I got to be honest, Sean, with this field, I thought we would be a bit more chalky.
Yeah.
By this time with the favorites. I can't remember another time to where, you know, we were 9-10 days away from Selection Sunday and we knew hands down who the four number one seeds were going to be. We knew who the first team All-Americans were going to be. You know, it really wasn't a year to where, you know, the top 2 to 3 lines of the seedings was in question. And, you know, I think that's why it's so remarkable, you know, and not just the Oral Roberts and stories like that, but for what happened earlier today within Illinois and Illinois of Chicago. I mean, just a great example of why this is the greatest show in sports.
Yeah, no question about that. Yeah, right. You're right. It was really chalky down the stretch, and yet here we're one game into the second round. We've already lost a one seed, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, Vin. Vin Parisi joining me on CBS Sports Radio is we've seen in the first round literally every single group of seeds 1 through 15 all had at least one team get through. The only seed we didn't see win a game were the 16 seeds, which we rarely see anyways. What's the explanation there? Is there something about the format of this tournament, you know, being all played in one city in front of small crowds that's more conducive to this, or do you think it's just a coincidence?
Well, you know, that's a great point that you just bring up there, because, you know, I think a couple different factors go into it. I think you could definitely look at from the angle of, you know, we didn't have as much of a sample base this year, meaning we didn't really have those non-conference matchups to go by in November and December. And we had many teams go through pauses. We didn't have as big a sample of work to go by. It was pretty much just try to get in as much as your conference schedule as possible, you know, and then we try to use the metrics and go from there. And as we've seen, that the metrics don't always tell the entire story. But I think there is something to be said for, you know, these games being in a more intimate setting. Perhaps the factor of guys not getting caught up into the crowds and the distractions and 70,000 seat arenas and the traveling and just staying put. But you also could look at it, you know, conversely through there's also the mental challenges of living in a quarantine. But when you look at Illinois today, you know, I thought that they had the best team, for example, in the country. I thought they had the best closer in the country with the Sumo. I thought they had the best big man in the country. And for Illinois-Chicago to come out like that and the way Porter Moser game planned and every ball screen, every dribble handoff, every play out of the timeout made Coburn look uncomfortable inside, it just shows you the parity and how the margin of error between 1, 2s, and 3 seeds and then 8, 9, and 10 seeds is so fine in college hoops.
Yeah, no question about that. Vin Parisi joining me on CBS Sports Radio. So of these teams that are the deep double digit seeds, I'm not talking about UCLA as an 11 from the Pac-12, but the Oral Roberts, the Abilene Christians, Ohio as a 13. Are there any of these teams that sort of line up as a George Mason type team that can make a deep run that's kind of built to win a couple games, or is it really just going to come down to matchups?
Well, it does come down to matchups to a point, but I had that Ohio over Virginia upset for the 4-13 game in the West from the beginning, because I just felt that Virginia was coming in off a 5-6 day quarantine. They were basically rolling into town the night before in Indianapolis and then playing the game. But star power has a lot to do with that, and Ohio has a star in their 6'4" point guard, Jason Preston. He's an absolute stud. He's been on NBA scouts boards for over a year. This Ohio team is for real. Yeah, they didn't finish atop their conference, but you have to look at the whole body of work, and that's where this year was a little bit different. You couldn't go by conference standings because of the limited games. Look at Iona and Rick Pitino. But Jason Preston and this Ohio team, they only lost to Illinois by 2 back in November. They put 100 points up on Cleveland State. So they come out, they don't disappoint, they beat a Virginia. Like, they are good enough to beat a Creighton in the round of 32 and go to the Sweet 16, but then obviously they run into the Zags. So, at this point, I think you throw seeding out the window, because I think a 10 seed like a Rutgers can easily get by a Houston right now, because Giroux, the point guard, might be injured and might be out of the game. So, I think, Sean, a big thing we have to remember from this point on and in, we can't get caught up with those original numbers that got put next to these teams by the selection committee last week. I think at this point it's about styles, it's about matchups. Syracuse is a great example with their style, because they just showed you how San Diego State never sees a zone, and that took them completely out of the game. So, from the round of 32 on and in is where it really gets fascinating.
Vin Parisi joining me, college basketball analyst, Fox Sports and FS1, breaking down the tournament. All right, so Vin, let's put aside the remaining one seeds. Baylor, Gonzaga, Michigan, who we know, they've got injury issues they're dealing with, but let's put them aside right now. We've already lost Illinois today. Of the teams that are remaining from the two line below, if you had to pick, if you had to pick from that field to pick an NCAA champion, who are the one or two teams that you feel like are at the top of that heap of teams?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I do think with Illinois getting bounced now and the East being wide open with Michigan without Isaiah Livers moving forward, that this does increase the odds in Vegas, per se, for a Gonzaga and Baylor championship night.
Right.
But I think out of the East, Florida State as a 4 seed. I have them going to the Final Four. Leonard Hamilton had the best offensive team in the ACC. He's got star power in Scotty Barnes. He was Final Four caliber last year. Granted, he lost a couple of guys, but he throws 8, 9, 10 guys at you, long, athletic. They defend. Not enough people talk about a Leonard Hamilton. And I think, Sean, when you look at the Midwest with Illinois being out now, this sets it up for Bob Huggins, who everyone is asking for the Basketball Hall of Fame, who just won his 900th win, to come out of the Midwest. I mean, they're going to have to get past Jim Boeheim's 2-3 zone in a couple hours. But now you look at a West Virginia team who, this is one of the best offensive clubs that Bob Huggins has had in a long time. And then Culver and company, can really hurt you on the defensive end as well. So I would, other than those ones that everyone had selected, keep your eye on a Florida State and keep your eye on a West Virginia at the bottom of the brackets.
Vin, how about individual players? We see that a lot this time of year where, guys put teams on their back and they make deep runs in the tournament. Who are some of the guys over the rest of the day, today and tomorrow, that if they're able to kind of get their teams through this round could have that kind of run where They're either cementing what the NBA already thinks about them, or they're playing their way into that elite tier of player where they could be looked at as a high lottery pick?
That's a great point. You look at like a USC, for example. Evan Mobley's a guy who, at the beginning of the tournament, most scouts that you talk to are like, listen, it's not often that you see guys with this size, guys with this, big guys able to run up and down the floor, do it, and Evan Mobley does. We have him slated as a number 2 pick, per se, and he's going to be one of the top picks. And I think that you know, those are guys that are just freaks of nature athletically. So regardless of what a USC would do in the tournament, those type of guys are slated in right away. But, you know, I think when you look at, like, a Villanova, for example, like a James Jeremiah Robinson Earl, he was co-Big East Player of the Year with two other guys. You know, he's one of the better forwards in the country nationally, but I still feel like, you know, in terms of star power, you know, he still doesn't get mentioned sometimes in the same breath. You know, he goes out in the next round and really turns it up. But I really think, Sean, that these Baylor guards can really, and they're going to be, you know, Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell. These guys, I think, are first-round draft picks next year. But at the rate that they're playing, and this is the best three-point shooting team in the field, if they keep playing at an elite level all the way to championship night, you know, this is where you really go from being, you know, an all Big 12 team, an all Big 12 player, all American, to where now you are really being talked about as a household name. So, you know, obviously we knew Luka Garza was the National College Basketball Player of the Year, but, you know, these next 2 weeks, especially when you get to the second weekend, is when you really see guys take their game to the next level.
Vin Parisi joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Before I get you out of here, Vin, which game the rest of the way? Baylor up by 10 here with about 2.5 minutes to go against Wisconsin. Of the six remaining games today, which is the one that you woke up this morning going, man, I can't. This one's getting the status on the big TV in my living room today.
Oh, 5:15 Eastern, West Virginia and Syracuse. I've been waiting for this game the entire day because – you have a West Virginia club who's good enough to go to an Elite Eight or a Final Four this year. But now with San Diego State out, with the way Buddy Boeheim and Jim Boeheim's guys are playing offensively. But once again, Sean, it plays into that. You got to look at the zone, the factor. The year that Syracuse won the national championship in 2003, they went against multiple Big 12 teams that never saw the zone. If they were to get by today, you're looking at either Houston or then Rutgers to then advance for them to the Elite Eight. And to think of that, where we were a week or two ago, we didn't think Syracuse was good enough to make the NCAA tournament. And now we're talking about an 11 seed Syracuse. Jim Boeheim as a double-digit seed has a chance yet again to be playing into the second or third weekend of the tournament. This is why this thing is just so fun to follow.
Yeah, it would be remarkable, no doubt. And you're right. And that is an OG coach matchup right there with Huggins and Boeheim, no doubt about it. Vin Parisi covers college basketball analyst for Fox Sports and FS1, studio analyst in New York for SNY. Hey, Vin, really appreciate you taking a few minutes during the action to talk to me in the audience and break it all down. Really appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much, Sean. Thanks for having me on.